everyone, and welcome to episode 49 of Radio Radar.
Wow. One more to go.
I'm Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
Henry Gilbert, I'm back.
Lorenzo Valoria.
Ryan Telgeny.
And, welcome back, Hank.
Mm-hmm. I missed the last three episodes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So can you describe exactly why you missed those three episodes?
Well, the first day, so we record on Fridays. It'd be nice to record on Thursday again sometime.
We did for the last three.
Oh, I'm the Friday curse then.
You are.
Well, so I missed the first Friday because I was on my way to Las Vegas on a family vacation. Being in Las Vegas made me crazy sick, but on the next Friday I was in San Diego technically for Comic-Con, but actually just coughing in my hotel room bed. And then the next Friday I was still sick, and barely getting over it, and I worked from home that day. So...
welcome
back.
Yeah. And episode 49 is special because that means next week is episode 50, and we are currently planning on doing a live episode.
Oh, wow.
What?
We don't know all of the logistics of it. We'd ask Greg Henniger, the community manager.
But he's in Las Vegas right now.
This guy. That guy, he's at Sony's event in Vegas, hopefully catching the same flesh-eating bacteria that Hank caught.
There's a lot of dirty people in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's a gross town.
Well, there's at least one right now.
I don't think people shower there, so.
Yeah, but we're going to be planning it. It's either going to be Thursday or Friday. We're thinking Friday afternoon. We're going to be streaming it on twitch.tv, probably. Mm-hmm.
Twitch.tv.
I don't know. We haven't thought this all through. We're going to do a live episode. We have
you
plans.
You should just subscribe to GamesRadar's Twitch feed as it is.
You sure as shit should. And all right. So let's get started with the top seven, which was actually the top seven reasons video game sex will always be disgusting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We need that. I can't do it.
I can't whistle very well, so.
I'll just do hubba, that sound hubba. Effect.
There you go.
What?
or people dying. No, that one's just gross.
No, yeah.
That's too moist.
That's too much
sound.
Joyce.
Far too moist.
Juice.
So, yes,
too much joyce.
Top seven reasons much joyce. Video game sex will always be disgusting or gross or whatever it was called. I don't remember, despite the fact that I wrote it.
I think it's always weird.
Weird is probably
it'll always be really weird.
All of those other words were used in the article. Let's start with number seven. The Uncanny Valley is approaching, and it's horrifying. The Uncanny Valley, for those who haven't heard that term thrown around every time video game graphics improve, is... that it's a theoretical psychological condition where that eventually either robots or computer graphics are going to get to a point where they are almost perfect. And when they get to that point, the fact that they are almost perfect is going to make them physically disgusting to look at, because you're going to be looking at something that you're like, oh, that's a real person. And then they just move a little wrong, or their eyes don't move correctly.
Well, I think that, the problem is the exactly as you say, like their mannerisms don't match up with their almost perfect physical appearance. So it's like, even though they look real to you and you see it, whenever you see them move, you're like, your brain is like, no, that's fucked up. They shouldn't be
they
doing
think
that.
You're sick. Or even if it is physical stuff, like if you smile, you know the way a face is supposed to move. And if like the cheeks don't move, it's like it's a bunch of things just with...
I think the perfect example of this for me is like when you watch Japanese horror films like The Ring or The Grudge, and they move in those super jerky movements. I can't do it. Don't, please. Don't ever make that noise again. Oh, God.
I felt that too with Final Fantasy Spirits Within, the movie, because like they were talking about like, look how real we got the people to look like. They were trying to make like a sex symbol out of the main female character. Like, I remember that she had like a spread in Maxim, and they had this very weird thing in it where they were talking to the designers, and they said like, yeah, we were having to decide like, well, would it look more real if the mole was like 3 inches up on her breast to make it a little lower? And I was like, ugh.
Some guy for a week moved a mole around a breast.
Yeah. What a job, eh?
But when you apply that uncanny valley to the act of sex. It ends up making it so it's just even more gross because you're supposed to be getting aroused and the digital person is mostly doing what you think they should be doing, and then something is off.
It's like they have the general act down, but like nothing moves that way, and then that throws people off.
It's like having sex with a super virgin. They have no idea what they're doing, but because they've never actually even been people.
I don't know if you can bail yourself out of that show.
Henry, can you bail me out of this?
You remember in Heavy Rain, that was a particularly like weird looking sex scene. Like it was supposed to look natural, and it was like he must have filmed the two actors like doing some of those motions, but then when you actually see the like I remember the one that took me most out of it was like Ethan Mars's face of just like it was this weird like toothless closed eye open mouth thing. Like,
couldn't tell if he was being physically injured or if he was enjoying himself.
Actually, that was one of my favorite articles that Mr. Michael Raparez did back in the day, which was like all the weird things in Heavy Rain that take you out of it. And they like he had like five different screen caps of when people talk, like, their top teeth kept showing, and they're like, oh, ow.
because of that, mixed with sex, a bad scene. Number six, developers favor exaggeration over realism, especially when it comes to boobs.
So, Dragon's Crown.
I've been watching Lucas play Dragon's Crown for the past week and a half. And the Amazon is actually disgusting looking.
Oh, man. Like, she's got the most muscular thighs and glutes ever.
Her ass is...
Badunkadunk.
It looks honestly like a bodybuilder's, like, arm. Well, but also like, it doesn't look like a butt.
Her back is broken almost, like, the way she has to turn her butt to the camera when walking at all times.
Yeah, like, and then you have the sorceress whose boobs are, like, triple E's.
Yeah, they're, like, down to her waist. They're just hanging down there.
Well, they just fly everywhere.
And, like, she would have so many back problems.
And it's not even that. It's just, like, it's the fact that they look like they're held on. It looks like a water drop that's about to separate from the faucet. Yeah. Like, and it's, like, it's just, like, essentially, like, an inch around and then a sack of fat.
Yeah. It's taken to such an extreme that it must be parody on some level, but like
but
I do think he wanted
games.
To
look at other games. Look at like Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2 where they're just like six axis controls where you shake the controller and the boots. Right.
And Dead or Alive is of course, you know, renowned for it.
And I remember I remember for a while ago I was going to write an article just called Video Game Boobs Are Gross because it feels like the developers are like, yeah, wouldn't it be awesome if when they sit down, their boobs just fly all over the place? And it happens, and it's just like, that looks fucking weird.
Well, I do think it's I think it goes back to Japan. Like, in their anime, it was just a cool thing to have, like, jiggling boobs, that just kind of grew, and so...
We need to come up with a new jingle for Henry Hates Japan.
Well, then, I love Japan. I'm just saying that in there, they... Like, then anime, you know, the anime style, like, would go into these Japanese games, and they would draw the characters with bigger boobs, too.
And
now Lightning in Lightning Returns, they're like, oh, and also we increased her breasts by a full cup size.
Is there any game that doesn't have jiggling boobs anymore? Did Tomb Raider have jiggling boobs?
Well, I'd like to also point out, it would be weird if there weren't some kind of jiggle, because, again, it's...
They are flesh.
That is a natural movement.
The issue is less the jiggle.
Right. The exaggeration is the problem.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, I think when you notice it and you're like, hey, that boob just jiggled, I think that's a little too much. Like, I feel like it takes it out of you.
Yeah, I will. If you're seeing, like, a woman jog, you'll be like, wow, her boobs are jiggling. Cool. But then if you see a video game character run and her boobs are, like fucking reaching over and hitting her on the back and, like, giving her a back massage because they're flopping over that unrealistically. The problem is that when you do the exaggeration in the physics and the character model, it ends up almost, again, into the uncanny valley where it's like, that's not supposed to move like that, and that's kind of weird looking.
You remember in Dead or Alive, in, like, the first ones, it was the higher... It would ask your age in the options menu, and the higher you made your age, the more the boobs would move during the matches. Do you remember that?
No, but I wish I did. But that kind of... what we were.
And that's why this business is so mature.
Yes. I mean. Kind of tying into what you were saying about Japan and the reason they do it, number five on the list is Americans are still sort of ashamed of sex.
Now, what do you mean by this? Because I don't fully understand it.
I think it's a very prudish country. Well, it's more... This was a big point of the film. This film is not yet rated, which is that you can have, like in a PG-13 film, you can bash someone's head in with a hammer with horrible noises, but as long as you don't show too much of it, or like CSI Miami, they can just talk about like, well, yeah, that torso is filled with semen and we found it over there and his head was on that other side. You can say all that shit. If you had one nipple in there, yeah, it would have been not on regular television or R-rated. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, some countries, they like their billboards have just like a mother breastfeeding and their boobs are out.
Or
I mean,
just there's things even, or like sometimes that. Yeah. It's just like in other countries, you'll just turn on like a regular TV channel and you'll just see a boob. And it's like, because mm-hmm. oh, it's an American, mainly in the media, which games fall into, you have that stigma where anything sexual is horrifically dirty and you can't show it. I mean, when Janet Jackson's boob popped out for a quarter of a second, it was like the biggest scandal.
It destroyed America.
It did. And it's like, now imagine if...
Yeah, but that was a shocking nipple, though. It had like a star piercing.
It was a shocking
nipple.
I
didn't look at it for that long.
I did. But I think you have to realize that we're still struggling to convince mainstream media that video games aren't A, murder simulators, and B, for five-year-olds. Yeah. So when you add in like, oh, and by the way, you can fuck in this game. Like, you can really fuck in. Like, you're in a mainstream game, when our media still can't show a boob. Or even, like, I remember, like, 5 years ago or 6 years ago, I think Law & Order 1, it was, like, there was a big deal where they were going to show someone's butt. And, like, they had, like, big disclaimers, and then the scene
was
just,
NYPD
like,
Blue.
NYPD Blue. Yeah. And they showed a butt for, like, 4 seconds. And it was, like, the big, like, they had to make a big deal out of it. And
well, in my local area where I lived in Florida at the time, they stopped airing NYPD Blue on our station for two years because of that butt.
Yeah.
Like, we're standing up for families.
And that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
So that's still...
Families don't have butts.
That's still the America we live in.
Well, here's a very recent example that, you know that inescapable Robin Thicke song, Blurred Lines? There's
Which one's that? I'll look it up. You can keep going.
I wanna.
Yeah.
You know,
it also it sounds kind of rapey, that song, doesn't it? Where it's like,
The music video.
You're a good girl, but I know you want to be bad. Eh? Yeah. But anyway, so in the original version, there's two versions of the music video. It's just Robin. I'm not saying it's an artful music video, but there's one version where beautiful models are hanging around him and they're wearing bikinis, and then there's another version where they're naked. And they tried to put the naked, and like, there's nothing sex. Well, it's sexual, but they're not like simulating sex. It's just naked models. Uh-huh. They tried to put it on YouTube. YouTube was like, no, you can't do that. But like on YouTube, it is behind an age gate, but you can see any graphically violent scene from any movie. Like, but those boobs that would destroy people.
Sort of related to this, there's a video that somebody made of like they copied the exact, you know, production of the Robin Thicke video, and it's dudes instead of chicks, and there's girls singing it, and it's pretty
What's the name of the guy from Eastbound and Down?
Oh,
Kenny Powers. This is, well, the character Kenny name. Powers, McBride. Danny McBride.
Danny McBride. That's right.
Robin Thicke looks like a skinny, young Danny
McBride.
God,
he does. That's so weird.
Just go ahead and look up this video and imagine that it's fucking Danny McBride in the same exact setting. And honestly, you'd probably...
That would make sense.
It
even.
Would, yeah. It's actually not that...
He's the son of TV star Alan Thicke. Where, you know, like, who was on the sitcom?
No.
Nothing. Growing Pains?
Must want to get nasty. Oh, that's a weird shot.
A car just drove down a woman's back. All right, so that's
Are you looking at the naked lady version?
No, I was on YouTube.
Oh, you gotta go to Daily Motion for the...
I'm at work, and those are all not safe for work. Number four, sex in video games will never not feel pervy. So
yes.
The mindset of this is sort of like... And I've gone through this same mental state where you're going and playing like a God of War or some game, Fable, and it's like you go to have sex in a game, and your character kind of just walks into a room and the camera fades, and for a second you're like, oh, I wish I was able to actually do something in this scene. Honestly, think about what that would entail.
I don't know. And it's always weird, too, because it's like, if I were watching a movie and there was like a sex scene and somebody walked in the room, they probably they might be like, what are you watching? But if I was going through a sex scene in a game and somebody walked in the room, they'd be like, what the fuck are you playing?
You'd be like, hold on, I'm hitting X to bone.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. it's a little weird.
It is.
And you feel the God of War ones, the camera pans away. You know what's happening, and you'll see like shelf shaking or whatever. But
there's some pretty graphic sex scenes in The Witcher, and a few times I was playing that just on my PC, and then my girlfriend walks into the room. She's like, "What the hell is this?" I'm like, "It's The Witcher 2. It's a great video game."
But at the same time, you still weren't like tapping the space bar.
You're not controlling. The Witcher's Witcher.
To Cunnilingus. No. There's no space bar to Cunnilingus
Jesus
command.
Christ.
Well, the Witcher is like, the Witcher is, you know, it was made by Americans with their sexual hang-ups, you know.
Right.
Like, it was less of a big deal there. They did, like, I think other countries have problems with, like, our films get banned in other countries just because, like, the heavy level of violence in, like, some R-rated
films. Drive is just, like, people being bludgeoned to death.
Yes. A lot of necks being slit.
Yeah, and then if you took that same sort of thing, I'm just trying to think of any instance in a video game where having sex wouldn't like and actually controlling it, like Surgeon Simulator style, controlling the fingers while you do some work wouldn't be like this is a disgusting thing.
Right, because controlling it just brings it to another level. When you're watching it in the movie, it's just like this is just a scene.
And
in
even
a
in a movie, it's still kind of like.
And it's like, close your eyes, hand over your eyes, and then you're peeking through.
I'm sure people are listening from other countries, and there's like, this is everything on this list is actually just part of the Americans still feel ashamed of sex. But honestly, just really contributing. Number two, and Ryan, I'm going to need your help on this. Number three. Ryan, you can go back to bed. You're more peeping Tom than active participant.
See, I don't know that being an active participant would make this any less weird. Like, I think I'd be more uncomfortable playing a role in a game sex scene than I would be just sitting back and watching it because
watching a cutscene play out.
Well, I mean in terms of like when I say peeping Tom, I mean even if I'm saying so if you're playing a game and you're having sex, you're hitting a button and you're having sex, you're not actually having sex. You're just telling somebody to have sex. You're essentially, I think you said you're a virtual porn director.
Right.
If it's in first person, if it's in third person especially, you're essentially smashing action figures together and getting a boner. Like, that's the end game. The end game is you, like, let's break down this barrier. The end game of a sex game is you smashing together action figures and jizzing. That's what you're hoping for.
And I'm sorry you feel pervy now.
Yeah.
You're hoping to smash some action figures together.
I need an adult coupe.
Wait, in which situation am I hoping this happens?
Why else would there be video game sex?
In terms of
you actually controlling it.
90% of the time, I think the idea is let's try and convey a very serious connection or something. A good 10% of the time, otherwise, you're just playing games made for pervs.
Yeah, and And I think number two, which I do need your help to talk to.
Oh, yes, this is a good one.
Further ties into the you're just trying to get your rocks off in a digital manner. Futuristic tech will just make it creepier and more dangerous.
So, yes, I've been doing a lot of research on futuristic game tech
sure
lately.
You have.
And I stumbled across this interesting post on NeoGAF in which dude has there's a game, a Japanese game called like Made 3D or 3D Made, like MAID, like a female person in the game. They are all female and they, you know, you custom build your maid and then you have sex with her. And you know, that's a creepy ass game, but to begin with, but one person in NeoGAF has managed to rework some of the code he's made a patch to give it Oculus Rift support.
Yes.
So now you are viewing this sexual act in first person, and you can look around the room. You can look up and down your maid's body, I guess, if you wanted to. But
or
then the best
stare at the ceiling and close your eyes real tight.
Whatever, you know, whatever you want to do. And this is already really, really weird.
Right.
But the weirdest part
is the Oculus Rift get messed up if you cry while doing it? Because this may be another barrier for me moving forward into this conversation.
Well, it's not about just the eyes.
No, exactly. The weirdest part about this whole setup is that there is a second peripheral that you can purchase, which is basically a fucking plastic case you put around your dick and it jerks you off.
It's a
while this is happening.
It's a fleshlight. Yeah.
And it's like, but it's hands off fleshlight.
But it has a joystick on the tip.
It's so weird.
Well, that's just trying to replicate the real thing.
I was looking at I was looking at the screenshots of this thing. I'm like, why is this
so here? suddenly you go from this game where you're looking at a screen and you're already doing some really pretty horrific things. Now you're fucking watching it in first person while you got some controller on your penis, and you're just doing all this stuff at once.
It probably works differently depending on how she's moving too.
And it's just like this way amplifies the creepy weirdness of this whole thing, and it's just like unsettling.
Take all of that and factor in the imperfection in any video game. So take when you're playing Skyrim and a character's head slowly spins upside down at your moment of climax and imagining the emotional scarring that will take place. Take the fact that sometimes I've been playing with like a video game controller and the game freezes and the remote starts. You ever have a game freeze while the rumble's going?
And yeah,
it's stuck in a super difficult... Imagine that or in your genitals. Like I was, we actually got an Oculus Rift today, and I was trying to play a game in it.
I was trying to download that main game and play it.
Yeah. I was playing a game in it, and the game crashed, but I didn't know what happened. So I'm playing this game that takes place in the forest, and all of a sudden, everything flashes white, and it really messed with me for a few seconds.
And it just dropped you to the desktop too. You're just staring at the desktop,
and I'm just
jarring.
And for a few minutes, it felt like some kind of weird, surreal state because it's like I got into this virtual world, even if it was only for a minute, and that was just me kind of walking around with people around me. Now, imagining you're at home alone in a leather reclining chair, fire in the fireplace. You have goggles on and a robot hammering away at your cock, and all of a sudden, right as you're about to. Everything flashes white and everything just starts feeling wrong. You're going to have some emotional baggage for the rest of your life.
It's a terrifying
Imagine the next
situation.
Time you reach for an actual mouse and you think about the last time, what happened?
Mm. Never touch a mouse again.
No.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. Me too, actually.
Number one, sex as a win condition is gross.
It is gross.
The mindset of this is essentially... There's no way to include anything in a game without it in some way being a win condition. So if something
it's a goal to complete.
And even, if in the second level of a game you go and some character's like, yeah, you want to go have sex, and you're like, sure, click. That's still, you have to beat the first level to get there. And the mindset of sex as a win condition, as like a reward, as if you do a good enough job at your task, you can walk up to a woman and just be like, sex now? Hmm.
Well, in Mass Effect, it was just like you just build up relationships, but people would want to, not everybody, but some people who were playing that game were like, well, I want to have sex with everyone I possibly can. And so they would just build up all these relationships and cheat on their virtual.
I never cheated on anyone.
You can act as disgusted as you want, but aren't you the guy here, the only person at this table who cheated on your spouse in Persona?
They weren't spouses. They were high school girlfriends.
That's the most important girlfriend of all.
That makes it even better. High school doesn't mean anything.
No, I don't know. I agree with this, but at the same time, like, I think most of the times the intention is not for it to come across as a win condition, even though on a technical level it always will be.
Subliminally it will be, even if it's not overtly trying to be.
But I mean, you know, I think games very often look to movies for inspiration, and you know, a lot of the times sex is, you know, in its actual general form, that doesn't, not its porn form, but its real form, is usually you know, an emotional thing that two people consent to doing with each other.
But when you take that element that subliminally it is a win condition, and you're wearing virtual reality goggles with a vibrator and
fleshlight.
You're actually,
I think,
just
if you're playing
looking,
those games,
you're
it's
actually
not even
just looking
a win
from behind at somebody doing it, and you're afraid that your girlfriend or mom is going to walk in the room, and the woman's breasts are actually the size of watermelons and bouncing around like there's no gravity, and you're already ready to vomit because of the uncanny valley. It's proof that, at least in the foreseeable future, video game sex will always be weird.
It'll be weird.
Sure. Yeah. So that's it for the top seven. We're going to take a quick break, give you some time to grab some Kleenex, clean up, and we will be right back. Welcome back. I hope you're feeling all right. Everyone in this room feels. Everyone looks like
relieved.
I was relieved. I was going to say they look exhausted. How you doing,
Ryan? I'm ready to change topics.
Yeah.
All right, so the first news story. Ryan, someone made a sex game. Can you talk about it?
I don't think that's news. That game's been around for a long time.
Oh, okay. First news story. There's our survey that says there may be a sequel to Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. Ryan, what do you think of that?
I hope there is one.
You looked uncomfortable, like I was going to ask you about having sex with Raiden. You looked really uncomfortable for a second.
I hope there's a sequel. I mean, I'd like to see one. I really enjoyed the first game. If there is a sequel, I really hope, you know, that it's more than just what the original was. I don't know what that would be.
I hope they still make it with, you know, the
Platinum,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope Platinum still does it. Because I worry about Platinum. You know, they got to... I imagine they're like someone who's living paycheck to paycheck, but it's just game to game. Because their games don't sell that much, so...
And you have to imagine, for as much as their games don't sell, Wonderful 101 and Bayonetta are coming out on the Wii, which we'll get to in a little bit. Those are the most they can sell... is a failure for most systems.
Right.
If every person who owned a Wii U bought it, it would be a 3 million seller. I think
yes.
A 3 or 4 million seller. So, and that's not going to happen.
No.
I am really looking forward to Wonderful 101, though. Wonderful
101.
I think it looks pretty cool. I think it looks, well, probably won't be better than Pikmin because it won't be as deep as Pikmin 3, but I think it looks like it could be more just like instant fun than Pikmin 3.
Shit, the embargo is up for Pikmin 3, isn't it?
Yep,
We'll talk about that. All right, we'll talk about that later. I've been playing a ton of it. Another big story. So despite disappointing sales of 4.5 to 5 million copies, Square, and despite the rumors we heard, there is a next-gen Tomb Raider sequel coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Henry, are you surprised?
No, I mean, we had a... In our teleconference meeting this week with our British pals, like we were talking about things and we all agreed, like I was the first to say it, though, like we haven't seen the last Tomb Raider game. No matter what it sold, Tomb Raider is such a name that there's going to be another one.
Yeah, but is it going to be more like Guardians of the Light, which was awesome, but...
I do hope Crystal Dynamics is still making it. I think they finally perfected Tomb Raider. I think the worst thing that happened to Tomb Raider... was that it came out the same month as BioShock Infinite. And so, Tomb Raider, if it didn't come out the same...
It sold more than BioShock Infinite.
Yes. But, like, Tomb Raider should be counted as, like, it would be a Game of the Year contender if it weren't for, like, BioShock Infinite and The Last of Us are, like, pushing it down.
If it came out in November, it would have... I can't guarantee
it. I don't know. I'd say I liked it more than BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, I kind of did... I'm leaning that way too.
The story and
but then
the,
I don't know if I liked it more than The Last of Us, though.
I like the gameplay in it was
yeah.
really.
But I'm
fun.
Just saying if it came out in November, it would have been Game of the Year.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt.
3 months earlier, Game of the Year on the fucking box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm also not surprised because at Comic-Con, like this is why I think they've had to just come out and say, yeah, we're working on a sequel, is because the writer of the upcoming Tomb Raider book said like. She just outright said the comic book. This comic book is in continuity, takes place after the game, and bridges to the sequel. And people were like, what?
What?
Yeah.
What?
So,
are you surprised it's next gen? Because they could probably get it.
I'm not surprised.
Well, if they get it out next year, if they're going to just cycle the engine, they could get it out next year. Like Tomb Raider Legend was a cross gen game. Like it did come out on. The PS2 and Xbox and the 360. But definitely 360 was the version to get of Tomb Raider Legend.
Also, Tomb Raider was a game that, like, Tomb Raider on PC looked like most of the next-gen launch titles we're already seeing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Hmm. Other big news. XCOM Enemy Within listings have emerged online, and 2K has... Almost in the, like I feel like companies are getting less coy with shit. Like they're not being like we can't talk about it. They're like, and 2K actually said like yeah we're announcing it on August 21st.
Like you know what the deal is. So, Gamescom is coming up. You figure it out. Guys.
Isn't that the day after XCOM or the Bureau XCOM Declassified comes out?
I think that comes out on the 20th.
Yeah, so yeah. It's the day. Yeah. They're like, once that game has a chance to come out and do whatever it's going to do, like, we're not going to wait very long to steal the XCOM spotlight, but we'll give them 24 hours. Well,
while people are at least thinking about it in some capacity.
Well, it hurt. I mean, it does hurt a game when you announce the sequel before the game comes out or the next entry before a game comes out like that. I think that probably hurt Final Fantasy 13 a little, that 14 got announced before 13 had even come out. Like,
yeah, they did. They announced that at But 14 was an MMO. So
One of the biggest disappointments I've ever had at E3 of just like, Jack Tren was like, hey guys, you know what? I'm here to announce Final Fantasy 14, and it's a console exclusive to the PS3. Here's the trailer. And then you get. As it started, I was like, this looks like an MMO. And then it ends with Final Fantasy 14. Ding, online. Like,
everyone's just like, yeah, yeah.
Oh. Ooh. But little did they know how awful 14 really would be.
Like, yeah.
That it could almost kill Final Fantasy as a brand.
A Realm Reborn comes out at the end of this month. I'm really excited for it. It's actually really good so far.
All right.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm.
I promise. Ugh, I really hate that noise.
Henry, 160,000 Wii U's were sold in the last 3 months.
That's a really bad number.
Is Nintendo our generation's Jaguar? Is this the Lynx?
No. The Wii U is not
the Sega Saturn.
The Wii U is not doing good. Not very good at all. 160,000 of a less than year old system in 3 months is a very, very, very bad number. But, you know, they didn't put out shit. Like, that's kind of the
thing.
They
deserve it.
April to June had Game & Wario, a not good game. Like, or not great. Like, it's good enough, I suppose. You'll settle for it.
I finally bought my second Wii U game, Nintendo Land, because it was on sale on Amazon for $10.
I will buy a Wii U eventually, but I think I'm like most other gamers out there. I'm just waiting for the next, you know, Mario Galaxy, the next Zelda, the next Metroid, and when they
honestly, I bet you
come out with those, I'm going
to
get it.
Another reason I think I want to take 30 seconds to shit on Super Mario 3D World is you said you're waiting for the next Mario Galaxy, but if Nintendo just said like we're releasing Mario 3D World, whatever, and it was essentially the next big fancy 3D Mario, that would be the one. Are you going to buy it for Mario 3D World?
No, but I'd buy it for the next Zelda.
Right, but I mean,
will
like
you
Mario
buy it for Wind Waker HD?
I might do that because I love that game.
I just feel like Mario 3D World, just all of its qualifications as a Mario 3D Mario aside, does not look like the 3D Mario people that, regardless of how good it's going to be, that people want this, and the system needs to survive.
This was my, I think this was the heart of my disagreement with Dave Houghton in our versus editorial, which was it is a 3D Mario because. The only people that would make a 3D Mario are making this, and it's in 3D, and it's a Mario. But it is not the 3D Mario any real fan wanted.
Right.
Like, they didn't. Even though 3D Land is a great game, I think it's really great, but it's the multiplayer that I hate about
it. They're acting like they need software sales, whereas they actually need console sales. Like, this game will probably sell 2 million copies, or 3 million. It may sell 3 million copies. Yeah. But a big fancy quote unquote hardcore 3D Mario would cost them more and probably sell slightly less or about the same. But it would ship. It would like half of those would be people who bought a new Wii U.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also what they need is it's easy to say this, but what they need is another phenomenon like Wii Sports was just something like, hey, you got to try Wii Sports. Like it just sold itself. Gama Sutra actually had a really neat editorial by a guy who was on Nintendo's PR team in 2006, and he said that Nintendo of Japan was pushing crazy hard. They're like, well, okay, the packing game is Wii Party, or the Wii, the game that came with the
Wii Play.
They're like, the packing game's Wii Play. And when they were testing it in America, they're like, everyone loves Wii Sports. This will sell the system if you put Wii Sports in. And Nintendo of Japan was just like, no, that's we put $50 of work into this. This is a $50 game you sell. And like they pushed back as hard as they could, and in a rare situation, like Nintendo of America got Nintendo of Japan to change its mind. And like just imagine like how less the Wii would have sold without Nintendo, without Wii Sports in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, everybody wanted to bowl.
But so yeah, exactly. But there's no Nintendo Land wasn't going to be Wii Sports. Nintendo seemed to think it was, but it couldn't be. And same with like they need another Wii Fit also, but their only next Wii Fit is Wii Fit. Like it's Wii Fit U.
I feel like I feel like Nintendo just needs to nut up and release a new like Wii Sports U. Like they need to just do it. And maybe they need to find a way to name it as it's something more obviously Wii Sports Academy or some shit.
I think, you know, even if they did come up with a Wii Sports kind of game for the Wii U, I think another problem that they would just run into is one of the reasons at least why Wii Sports was so popular was because at the time motion controls were a very new thing for most people, and it was the first time that a game made super easy sense to especially a lot of people who just don't play games. So I don't think that would translate very well to the Wii U just because the gamepad is a lot more complicated than a Wii remote is to use understand naturally.
It's not more complicated than an iPad.
Won't have the same effect because people aren't as interested in that as a new technology that was very easy to understand.
It's not that jump. Like, everybody has an iPad. Nobody had a Wii wand, and nobody had motion controls before this. So
it is also
like,
weird that they didn't do a sports just because they've been pretty shameless about milking sequels this year from lots of franchises.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they have more confidence in Wii Sports than they should, and they're saving it for like a fucking giant game. Or maybe they're doing. I always wanted them to just be like, instead of doing Wii Sports, just make it called Mario Sports and just make all those same ass mini games except with Mario characters, and that would probably sell super well.
Yeah, probably would.
Yeah, I think they definitely. I bet they're really thinking it's Mario Kart and Smash Brothers next year that are going to be like. I bet they're, like, definitely they're thinking Donkey Kong, Mario, Zelda. Like, that'll give them a good enough holiday. But it's Mario Kart is what they're really betting on.
Mario Kart's one of those games that it's like, everybody knows Mario Kart. Everybody likes it. And then when it comes out and it sells, like, 10 million. Like, Mario Kart Wii sold so much more than I feel like I expected.
Well, it's, like, over 20 million.
Yeah, and it's like it's one of those franchises that you never think of selling that much.
Yeah, I know. That is awesome.
Yeah. So 8 looks great. Like
eight,
I thought 8 is great. 8 is great.
And it does look super good, and it looks fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But so I did do an editorial this week about why the Wii U is now the GameCube, and that the GameCube also had really shitty sales, but Nintendo wasn't as worried because they had a money machine in handhelds. Like I think they always will. Like the 3DS, it looked like they were in danger of losing, but they recommitted to that, and it is now. I don't think it's making them as much money as the DS did, but it's a
close.
Good profit center.
Yeah, there was a time where we were having the same discussion about the Wii U or the 3DS as we are having right now of the Wii U, and now it is the best-selling console almost
every month. And yet we still continue to have that conversation about the Vita.
Well, the Vita's dead.
The Vita isn't dead. I think honestly, Sony doesn't give a shit about the Vita right now because they know whatever they do with the Vita, they're going to have to repurpose it in 5 months after the PS4 comes out because that thing is going to be your portable PS4. Mm-hmm. I think that thing has the horsepower.
Well, if you stream to it and stuff.
Once they get Gaikai up and running, people committed to that, I foresee Vita sales doing much better.
Especially once they are able to, like, I'm talking like 2.5 years from now, but once they have the ability to be like, all right, we can drop the price of the Vita by like $75 or $100, we can drop the price of the PS4 by $100, or we can just bundle them together for the same, like, you're going to see some crazy awesome bundles with both of them for like the price of a current PS4.
The Vita is like great tech. Like it's such good tech. There's nothing to play on it, you know? Like,
even when compared to the Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is probably, I do love that machine. It feels so nice too. I do like it. Anyways.
So yeah. That's it for the news. There were some other. Oh, EverQuest Next got announced.
Yeah, just now. Actually, just today.
Yeah, we should probably talk about that.
New EverQuest. One thing I thought was really, really cool is the entire world is built out of those, what do they call them, voxels? Essentially, they're almost like little Minecraft cubes in the sense that you can destroy pretty much anything. Not everything, but most of the environment. And it kind of grows back over time, so it's not just going to be like a crater-filled world all the time. But it was really cool. They were talking about how if you're partied up with some friends, and I guess there's procedurally generated dungeons as well.
Yeah, wow. So essentially... one of the things they said is like you'll get a notification that there's a dungeon somewhere and you may go with some friends and just start fucking digging and find a dungeon that was like a new dungeon nobody's ever played because they're procedurally generating them.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to just delve into the ground almost like Terraria.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
so
crazy.
It's like it's exciting
all
to
in
me.
An MMO.
Yeah, it's exciting to me because like this is probably the biggest jump we've had in any MMO advancement in a long, long time.
And I'm happy somebody's doing it.
Yeah, it needs to be done because, you know, MMOs are inherently interesting just because you're playing with so many people on such a huge scale. And to finally be able to do cooler things than just group up with four other people, kill a couple monsters in an instanced area is really exciting. So
For SOE, it was kind of like put up or shut up time. Like, they had, like... EverQuest 2 was nothing. Like, it just flopped, right? I mean,
but it didn't do amazing.
Well, I mean, WoW just overtook it immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now, like, they can, as WoW is starting to wane a little, and...
DCUO is still, DCUO was good, but it's still kind of just, it's just a thing that will make them money slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But EverQuest could be their big thing, finally. Like,
I mean, just imagine... You know, the very basic elements of Minecraft, but on an even bigger scale with thousands and thousands of players all at the same time.
Though with much less of an emphasis on constructing.
Right, yeah.
Though that
it's
is
mostly
something
just...
they want to add. They apparently want to add all that. There's so many questions that they're not answering yet. Like, if they're procedurally generating shit, that means that the game world could be as big as they want it to be.
Yeah.
Which means that they could do, like, I remember old school... MMOs where you could build a city, like a player city that was in the open world.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And they said they did say that you can add permanent structures.
Yes.
So I will be curious. I mean, I think we're a ways out
bridges,
yet.
Bridges, they were saying, and stuff like even a simple, like if you were to get across a river, you could just get with a few friends and build a bridge, and that will just always be there unless people destroy it.
That's really cool.
So it's really exciting. I mean, I'm sure it's a ways out yet, but.
Yeah, that's. But I think they said that they're not committing to this or next year, though realistically. When a big MMO is announced, it usually, in the modern era, comes out either like 8 years later, like WildStar, or it ends up coming out like the November of the next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and if they end up hitting that date, that means, so Titan, whatever it is probably 3 or 4 years away.
At the very least, especially if they scrapped and restarted.
That means that EverQuest Next can come out almost... in its own
and I feel like it has the potential to be a new WoW in the sense that WoW came at a time where people were looking for something kind of I don't want to say new because it wasn't super new
like
in the
different.
MMO formula, but they were looking for something specific, I guess, in an MMO, and that one kind of just hit at the right time and offered the right things, whereas now that formula, which has been copied dozens of times, is starting to feel a little old to people, and they're looking for something new but still enjoy the idea of playing with that many people.
Everybody's always just found new ways. So, like, the MMO formula that EverQuest realistically started was perfected to a level with WoW, and then other games came out. I'd say Rift took a lot of those mechanics and further perfected them and added some other elements. Everybody's just been – it's been this big snowball that's been rolling, and then at points it picks up things like active combat. Now we all need that. Voiceover. Now we all need that. Mm-hmm. But it's still been the same snowball.
Yeah.
But I feel like a game like this where if they actually pull this off, that's a new beginning for the genre.
And it needs one, honestly.
Yeah. And I think they also said the quests are going to be totally different. One of the things they said is they take a public quest from Rift where it's like, oh no, there's monsters invading, except make it 3 months long and you're actually building a city. Like, there could just be NPCs that are like, we're looking to build a city. Can you bring us some rocks for the next few days? And then all of a sudden they have a wall and they're like, oh, there's monsters attacking. Can you and just having this ridiculous thing. And then at the end, there's a city there that you helped build.
Yeah, imagine how cool that would be. Because, see new cities pop up in MMOs, through content patches. And you're like, oh, now it's just here. Imagine being part of the building process for a permanent city in the game.
And imagine there being things depending on how much you contributed. And it would be the fucking simplest thing for them to do, considering how complex this game is. But you contributed more than anyone else. You have a permanent 90% discount at all the shops. you have all this stuff. Oh, you
have a mansion.
You have a mansion. Yeah, you have a mansion in it. Like, they could do all of this stuff. If the game, I mean, it feels like that would be the simplest thing. Like, you could do that in fucking WoW if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
They do that in WoW. They have passive global buffs that you get for completing certain tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm excited.
I am too.
And Tom Agrino is in the other room. He's a little too busy right now, but in the other room right now, just itching at his neck. Just itching. He feels something. He feels
that EverQuest itch.
Yeah, he was editing the article today, and it was just every so often you'd look at him and he would just be shaking his head.
He'd stand up to gasp for air every few minutes. Yeah. I need this now.
Yeah. So that's it for news. We do have a few previews, starting with one that I got a text from you. So I get
unexpected.
Let me read the text. So you went to see Batman. I knew you were going to see Batman.
Yeah.
You were going to see Batman Arkham Origins, which we're all excited for. We didn't really know why you were seeing it, but
thought I was just going to see a new villain or something.
Yeah, let me find this.
A level.
I get a text that just said, played Batman multiplayer. It's pretty sweet. I'll talk to you later about it. I was like, what the fuck? And after reading your preview, I am now, the multiplayer is by far the thing I'm most excited for in Batman Arkham Origins.
Right, because Arkham Origins just kind of seems like Arkham City again with, you know, different villains
and
all.
It feels like it's
going
to be the world at war of,
right, like
more
Batman, more villains,
that's
more
a good one.
Or
that's
the
fucking
the Resident Evil Revelations, or no, the Assassin's Creed Revelations of Batman.
The Arkham
so
City.
So what is, we already know about the single player. What's the multiplayer?
So the multiplayer is three teams. Well, let's start it off this way. It's kind of like the Predator mode where, in the previous games, where you're Batman, you run around a map, like an enclosed map, and you're picking off guys stealthily. So the developers are basically like, we're tired of doing this with AI. Let's put some people in it. So there's three teams. There's the Joker gang, the Bane gang, and a Heroes team. And so with the gangs, it's basically Gears of War. It's third person, behind the back camera. You get guns. You get a primary, secondary, grenade slots, and then there's special equipment like Joker balloons that have dynamite strapped to them, and like mines and UAV thingies, and it's kind of like just the typical kind of shooter thing. And there's a capture point mode where you're just capturing points as typical same old stuff, and those two gangs are fighting against each other to win the match. And the third team, the Heroes, is Batman and Robin, Dick Grayson.
Okay.
Robin, because it's, you know, a prequel.
Takes place in the, yes, yeah.
And these guys are doing the Predator part of the Arkham City games, basically. So they win the match. They could win the match themselves, and they win by raising this intimidation meter, which is, which grows by taking down enemies and interfering with their progress. So you could like strap a electronics disruptor on their capture point so they can't capture that point anymore, and you know, set traps for them. You could pop out of grates and you could, you know, do all the regular stuff. You could throw batarangs, and it's pretty crazy. Like, playing as Batman with a bunch of people just running around shooting each other, and like, I was just hanging out on a gargoyle, a guy ran under me, and I just picked him up, like, and then just, you know, flew away and disappeared. And that stuff happens to you all the freaking time when you're a gang member. So you're just, like, shooting at a guy, and you're trying to kill him, and then all of a sudden, you're getting choked out by Batman. But also, another thing that I forgot was the gangs can also summon their super player, which is either the Joker or Bane. So, like, midway through the match, I think it depends on who's losing the match will get their super player, so it kind of could balance out the match. But you'll just get this prompt to go knock on this door. So if you get to the door and knock on it, you become Bane. And you could, like, charge through the map and just, like, grab people by the neck and throw them at other people. And
so I guess that's there, because otherwise it would be like, why the hell would it ever be fun to play as Batman?
And it happens pretty much every match, and, like, those guys are really deadly unless the Batman and Robin team come and like try to stealthily take him down, and like I was shooting at Bane's head forever as a gang member, and Batman had to take him down. But it's something else, and it was pretty fun when I played it. I played it for about an hour.
Yeah, that does sound really cool.
Yeah.
And how many maps are there going to be?
They didn't show anything other than the Blackgate map. But they said there will be multiple.
Blackgate's like the minimum security prison for psychopaths.
It's the regular prison.
Blackgate is the maximum security prison for non-crazy people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Arkham Asylum is for the super guys like Joker and
at the start, that's for the colorful characters.
Right,
but that's how they explain at the start of Arkham Asylum that the reason all those thugs are in Arkham Asylum is because the Joker effed with Blackgate, and so they had to transfer Blackgate prisoners to Arkham Asylum temporarily. So,
I love when games actually go as far as to be like, we need to explain this because Henry Gilbert's going to be confused.
The Henry Gilbert's out there will say like, well, they wouldn't put a bunch of thugs in Arkham Asylum. They're not crazy.
And you're sitting there like scowling at the TV, and then they're like, yeah, the Joker messed with Blackgate. We had to move them all over here. And then you're just like, yeah!
I like those. I live for those explanations.
Yeah. You live for exposition.
Exactly. Well, one of my favorite things is the Marvel No Prize. Do you guys know what that is? Uh-uh. Back in the, it started in the 60s where Stan Lee would get letters from nerds who would say, like, the Watcher says that he doesn't interfere, but he interfered this time and gave Reed this thing. Why'd he do that? And Stan Lee hated complainers about it, but if someone... He encouraged people to write in with their own explanations for why these things happen. And when somebody had a good enough continuity cover, he'd be like, yeah, that's right. You win a no prize. And a no prize is an envelope that says N-O hyphen prize. And it is an empty envelope. And you get the Marvel No Prize. Which
that's
is
really
that's
funny.
No awesome.
Thanks prize. For covering my ass. Here's an envelope.
God, imagining him doing that now would be hilarious because he'd be like, I'm just going to mail them an envelope. That's it. And then the lawyers would be like, well, you probably need to get some tax paperwork from them before you can send them. The envelope itself has a value.
Imagine if you had that envelope, though.
I know.
Well, I would love one of those envelopes.
You can get one of the, like, there was, I heard an interview with Stanley recently where he says that, like, when the first time he met Quentin Tarantino, Tarantino was like, I always wanted a no prize, and I never got one. And Stan Lee finally hooked him up with a no prize after that.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
There's none on eBay, but there's a bunch of comic books called The No Prize.
Yeah, they kind of ran with it in the 70s and 80s.
Of course they did. They ruined everything in the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah, it just started with a little joke in the 60s, and then, yeah.
Any other previews anybody see that we can talk about?
Nope. No.
Batman was cool.
Yeah, Batman does sound cool. I've been playing Mario and Luigi Dream Team, but I so far agree with our review by Justin Towell.
But despite the fact that it is out in the UK, you are not allowed to speak about it.
I think so. But I think I can say I'm playing it, but yeah.
Embargoes!
Or maybe I'm just playing a UK version I imported along with a system. Who knows?
I'm playing Saints Row 4. I'm allowed to say that. I know that.
I
looked
also,
it up. I am allowed to say that.
I too am playing Saints Row 4.
I'll be playing Saints Row 4
together.
This
you and I are playing Saints Row 4.
But we can't say that we were playing it together. I don't know if we'd be allowed to
what
say
I
that.
Meant was together in the sense that you and I are both
in the
yes,
brotherhood of man.
We're not allowed to discuss the co-op we played last night.
Do we have more copies so I could say that I'm playing Saints Row 4?
I think we have like 5 copies.
We have 3.
We got a bunch of copies today.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to be playing Saints Row 4.
You can't say you're going to be playing.
Oh.
You can only say if you are currently playing.
Okay, we'll just cut that
out. It's Schrodinger's embargo.
There you go. Beautiful.
Anything else we can talk about that we are playing?
I don't think so.
All right, well then let's move on to the reviews and the community segment after the break. Welcome back to the third segment of Radio Radar. We have some reviews. We have an announcement about Game Club, and we have the community segment. Let's start with Game Club.
Start with Game Club. Wow. Okay.
I want to give it the spotlight of the third segment.
So we finished our first return month to Game Club. We played through Psychonauts, and you can find that on the website.
It's on the feed, too.
Yeah, we
if you're a subscriber to Radio Radar, you got a copy of it, didn't you?
Yeah.
A copy of a podcast.
A copy of a...
Yeah. So, you know, again, the idea of this of Game Club is just to try and play through some older games and, you know, maybe ones that we've missed or have been wanting to revisit for a while. So we did Psychonauts first. Really enjoyed it, I'd have to say.
Yeah, it's better than Beyond... I will say that it's better than Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah.
I liked your quote, your tweet. You said, like, that Psychonauts was what you wanted Beyond Good and Evil to be.
It's what everyone promised Beyond. Yeah. Everyone's like, each level, it's like the gameplay is so varied and you feel so interested by the characters. And I kind of felt that with Beyond Good
like,
and Evil.
Yeah.
But Psychonauts is that in every way.
Yeah, yeah.
And it also holds up a lot better.
What was your favorite level?
I mean, I think everyone tends to cite the Milkman Conspiracy just because it is so
honestly,
damn good.
Honestly, though, I like the Milkman Conspiracy. I think I liked Waterloo more. Waterloo
really?
Was more imaginative.
Waterloo, well, here's why I don't remember Waterloo fondly is because at that point I was trying to collect all the images, the collectibles,
the
games.
Figments that fucking Lucas told Ryan and I we didn't have to get, and then we both at one point hit walls that we couldn't proceed because we didn't collect enough figments.
Don't listen
but
to
like,
Lucas.
We learned that lesson.
Yeah.
In Napoleon's level, there are like 20 figments that are impossible to, like, ooh. You can't see them. They're outlines. They're neon outlines in a brightly colored level. Like,
yuck.
It's really hard.
No thanks.
So that ruined the joke, but Milkman is still my favorite just because he's... The Milkman is so funny. Like when you get out of his brain,
yeah.
And he picks up his Molotov cocktails, and Raz is like, "So what's in those?" And he's like, "They're fortified with what the world needs." And then his eye like twitches as he says it.
That one does a good job of like showing, like that's the best example of this is how that person's brain views the world.
Mm.
Like, he sees everybody. Everybody's in on it. Is
yeah.
The mind of a conspiracy theory.
Well, now you guys get this reference.
Yeah, I was telling John, actually, that noise annoyed the shit out of me. And I think it was supposed to because the jerk character did it all the time.
Yeah, Broccoli Head did it.
But yeah, the game was really awesome, and we've got the spoiler cast up. You can check that out. Now, this month's game for August, we're going to be playing Earthbound.
Woo! Ooh.
Yeah, I'm on
Fuzzy
that one.
Fuzzy Pickles, motherfuckers!
I will get that reference in a month.
Yeah.
Right now, it's lost on
me. No idea what that means.
It's a beautiful thing that they finally have put it out.
Yeah, you know, and most of the time when we're doing the Game Club games, we're going to pick games that are widely available. But we had to make a special exception here. Mm. You know, just because this is one I've been
wanting
to play.
$10 on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Just buy a Wii U.
With the purchase of a
Wii U,
for,
But yeah, we'll be playing through this game throughout the month of August. I think this time, and we mentioned this on the Psychonauts spoiler cast too, but we're going to do something a little different with the formatting. We'll try and post weekly questions in the Game Club article to kind of keep the discussion going. We're kind of toying around with a variety of different formats, and we'll ultimately decide on whichever works out the best. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. We'll be posting weekly updates and questions and be talking with you guys in the chat there. So definitely check that out if you're interested.
This is a song.
It's beautiful.
Except it was actually... So this song is actually it's a song called Bound to or Home Again. That the song is from Earthbound, but this particular composition is actually from Destructoid Editor-in-Chief Dale North.
Wow.
Oh. Who near the end of the song starts singing.
Beautiful.
What? Played at my wedding.
Huh.
What?
Dude, the song's awesome. Anyway, so yeah, that's...
you know, that Earthbound thing reminds me of... Well, I got all these Comic-Con stories I wanted to share, but here's one more that just... at the South Park panel, they didn't want to talk about the game. Like, the joke at the start of it was, like, we're not talking about the game, and don't ask us about the release date. And all they kept saying was, like, this game was fucking hard, and we wish we didn't do it. Like, they almost like, we wish we didn't do it.
They said the same thing with Team America.
Yeah,
they're like, Team America, like, making a puppet movie is so hard, we wish we really did. Whenever they do something more difficult than just the South Park TV show, they complain about how hard their jobs are.
Because they're used to just moving around digital construction paper in their little South Park
app. Well, I remember before Team America came out, before they started making it, they're like, well, yeah, they're supposed to look like shitty puppets, so it'll be easy to make, right? But it was insanely hard, and they said... That before they played the game, before they made the game, they like Trey Parker was super into Skyrim, and he's like, "Hey, let's make a game like that. That'll be easy, right? Skyrim. I mean, come on." then he also, but when they were talking about games that inspired him, like they mentioned, you know, the stuff they'd mentioned before, Paper Mario and games like that. But then you know, Trey Parker was like, well, I was a huge fan of Earthbound back in the day, and I think it really works for this game. You know, it's about a bunch of kids in America, you know, hanging out with fighting, like talking to their mom and then fighting things.
Yeah, like you have, like you walk outside and fight like bugs. Mm-hmm. Like the first fights are just like there's a rat, hit it with a stick.
Yeah.
It's attacking you. You have to defend yourself. I'm so excited.
That game might never come out. They also choked that they said that somebody asked, what do you think when THQ was closed? And they said, like, oh, for a second, we're like, hey, maybe we don't have to finish this game. We can just, like, quit. Yeah, let's just quit. All right.
The trailer that was released right before that was, like, South Park's The Stick of Truth, coming this holiday or next holiday. It'll come in some holiday.
You know, video games.
Yeah.
I was also, the thing they showed a video, like a behind-the-scenes video, and at the end of it, like, Trey Parker said, like, you know, we put all this work into it, and if GameSpot gives us fucking 7, I'm going to be pissed.
GameSpot's going to give them a 7.
Mm-hmm.
So let's jump into reviews. We have a, not complete, but Ryan, you've been playing Dragon's Crown.
Yeah, I've played about an hour and a half of Dragon's Crown.
About 20 hours.
I cannot give a reviewer's opinion, but I can say that I'm really and really enjoying it, and despite the fact that it has, you know, as we mentioned earlier, crazy odd proportioned characters. It's very, very fun.
You just have to laugh at a certain point.
Yeah.
Or be totally insulted and disgusted. Laugh or go like, this is fucked up. I'm done.
Yeah. The art in the game is incredible, and it's very, very pretty. And it's basically just a brawler RPG. You get quests, you go through dungeons, complete objectives, and you get a bunch of loot and level up. And
right. Well, the team that worked on it did the just re-released, well, they did the original versions of the just HD-ified Dungeons & Dragons, Tower of Doom, and Mysteria stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and this is definitely like, this is the spiritual sequel to that. Like, you know, mechanically it works very similar to that game.
In that it's a very complicated side-scrolling beat-em-up.
Yeah, right. And I kind of like it because it does give a lot of depth that makes me interested in the type of games that I often just pass up because I'm like, I don't really feel like running from left to right and killing stuff for no reward other than finishing a stage. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of taps into some things that I really enjoy, and it's a really, really fun game. I would definitely check it out.
And I really, like, the example I think of it's deeper than you expect mechanics is I played as the Amazon when I played it, and when you do her, like, everyone has their special move. Her special move is, like, she squats in an insane manner and then does a giant, like, smash with her axe, and then her axe is implanted in the ground.
I think that's... That is a mechanic that is in place for every character's special.
Okay.
When you do it, they temporarily lose their weapon.
But when she loses her weapon, she then becomes, like, way more agile, and she's doing like all these crazy kicks and stuff. Like she becomes a different character almost in her controls.
That's like, so I'm playing as the dwarf who he's just like a dual wielder with hammers basically. Mm-hmm. And his is like this really, really crazy. He flails his arm through the air and does a bunch of strikes and then smashes his hammers into the ground. And then he just turns into a straight up, like he just punches everything to death really hard. So it's really, really fun. Really liking it.
When the Amazon loses her axe, also her jump and down attack is a butt stomp, not unlike Yoshi's, except with her crazy butt.
She's just a big butt coming down.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, not all the characters lose their weapons.
Oh,
like,
no?
But like the elf. I was playing the elf on our live stream, which is Wednesday at 3 o'clock from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. You guys could stop by and watch, but we were playing it this week, and the elf just has like a long range arrow shot, and like you could combine it in with like a crazy kick combo for like extra damage and stuff. And I'm pretty sure the magic users, the sorceress and the mage or whatever, their basic attacks are practically useless. Like they don't really do any damage, so you need to like manage your mana pool and figure out what spells will work best with what enemies and stuff. So there's a lot of complexity with the characters.
And we'll have our full review early next week.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas would be here talking about it, but he's actually in the process of trying to get the review ready. So
it is a very big game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I also have a, I can't give the official verdict, but I played a lot of for Pikmin 3. Mm-hmm. I've been playing it for the last week. It has the same day structure as the previous games, where you have to complete tasks by the end of the day. But in this one, I don't know if there's even a limit on how many days you can spend.
At least 100.
Yeah.
But the limit is you got to keep up on your berry intake.
Yeah, you
if you run out of food, then it is game over.
Yeah, I'm like 15 or 16 days in. And loving it. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
It looks better than any other game I've probably played in a long time.
It's gorgeous.
There are some weird, like, low-res textures, but then there are other ones where it's like, this looks better than anything I've seen on the PS3, just in terms of, like, the fidelity of the graphics.
Hmm. Well, and I just love that, like, I had really enjoyed the first two Pikmin games, but I think it'd be hard to go back to them now because the 3 streamlines so many things.
Yeah, you get to control. Well, one of the main things is you get to control 3 people at once, and you mm-hmm. can throw them onto other areas. And at first, I thought it would just complicate things, but it lets you do things. So in Pikmin, you control 3 little guys that can pull little plant creatures out of the ground and throw them around to complete tasks. But what this lets you do, especially when you use the gamepad where you have access to a map, is you can take one guy, throw him over, give him a little squad of Pikmin, have him go start clearing out one side of the map, and then start taking yours and, like, micromanage doing the other side. But that may include, like, you'll get to a wall that'll take a minute to destroy mm-hmm. by just having all your Pikmin attack it. So you have them start attacking it. And in the old games, you would just stand there.
You just stare and watch it happen.
And in this one, you just switch to your other character, start micromanaging what he's doing. Maybe even, and then, like, little things, like when you send your Pikmin back with a pellet to get more Pikmin or with fruit or something. You used to have to just walk back to get them, but now you can send somebody back and then have them come back with those Pikmin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I also love the all the Pikmin are now in one bulb. Like, you don't have to bother with,
one
like, five
onion.
Different onion. That's right. With one, you don't have to bother with, like, 3 or 4 onions surrounding your spaceship. And also, like, you don't have to send them back into the onion. As long as they're under your care when the day ends, then you save those Pikmin.
I have to say, having never played a Pikmin game, listening to this description is very funny.
Yeah, it's super
it's a
good.
Complicated game.
Yeah, it's actually, it's Nintendo. I'd say it's Nintendo's smartest franchise. Even
yeah.
compared to Zelda and anything, it is the one that requires you to think the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is an interesting game. I've only played the game a couple times in preview events, and I think me and Henry played the multiplayer.
Oh, Bingo Battle.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
I haven't played that yet. What is it?
It's a split screen, but it's so you're both just dropped down in a sandbox, and you both have a bingo card, and you want to, you know, create a line of things by collecting different items that are in the world.
Right. There's like some mangoes and apples and grapes and stuff.
And like a golden strawberry, too.
Right.
And sometimes there's multiples of that thing on the map, and sometimes there's only one. And what happened when we played, like, I had 4 of my 5 things for a line, but the golden strawberry was the last one I needed. There was only one golden strawberry, and Lorenzo stole it.
And we're both throwing our Pikmin at it like crazy, and they're like, woo, 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 woo.
And it was this weird tug of war. When he got it, I was like, well, fuck, now I got to build a whole new line of bingo.
He had to start over, and it was
awesome.
It was really fun.
I didn't even try that. I saw it on the menu. So every time I start playing the game, I kind of look at the word bingo, and I'm like, I have no fucking idea what that is, and I just move on.
It's a good time. It's I haven't had that much fun with the like split screen thing in a long while.
Yeah, it was fun.
Awesome. So yeah, the review already went up. I think we gave it a.
It was a 4.5 out of 5.
And so far that feels right.
Yeah, I don't think it's a system seller for the Wii U, but if you own a Wii U,
you play it.
You are starving for content, and this is
it. Is a game that takes advantage of the system's power and the controller, and gives you an experience you couldn't get anywhere else. AKA, mm-hmm. it's the thing you're waiting for, and if you don't get it, it's your own fault for not having games on the Wii U.
Yeah,
to put it bluntly,
it's so that's your fault.
Yeah, asshole. So that's it for the reviews. We have plenty of other reviews going up over the next few weeks. Maybe even of Saints Row, which I am playing.
I am also playing that game.
I hope I beat it this week.
No, you... Are you playing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whew! You're not allowed to beat it before me.
Lorenzo, do not say
a word. I am...
That's right.
I'm going to mainline the storyline and not do any side stuff just so I can beat
too
it before
much,
you.
Too much
information. No. I have to re-edit the entire podcast around that. All right, now on to the question of the week. Last week's question of the week was, what's your most horrific or scarring multiplayer story? We got a bunch of good answers. Some were just like Golden Eagle 1476 said that his worst memory was playing Modern Warfare 2
that was a bad time in my life. Just all the time he wasted. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. League of Legends. One game in particular, I gave first blood and my entire team went absolutely apeshit and said I should get hit by a bus and die slowly of cancer.
That makes sense.
Wow.
Another tale from the troll, winner two. I was playing AC Brotherhood, and it was team versus team mode. My partner was a dumbass troll that would not stop running in circles around me while the other team was hunting.
That's funny. I mean, probably not when you're playing, but... oh, man.
LJ Viora, or... LJ Rivarola. This one is the worst because it involves one of my favorite fighting games. There's a free-to-play Tekken that was released recently, and I was really excited for it. I've been playing Tekken since I was 6, and he's 19 now. So I consider myself pretty good. I know all the combos, blah, blah, blah. So I went into multiplayer thinking, yeah, I'm going to knock the shit out of people. The thing is, my first three fights were against douches who were repeating the same cheap move over and over again. Then I fought a dude who seemed to play the game honorably, like any man would do. But when I was about to beat him, he started spamming the shit out of that cheap move. After the match, I played against another douche that raised his power stat to max and only won with a few hits. The next fight, I was so sick of losing because I started using the cheap move. I won, but I wasn't happy about it. It is my worst memory because I've been playing Tekken for more than 10 years, and this is what I got. I need cheap moves to win. There's no honor in that.
It's sad.
It was a sad...
it's depressing.
Sad story. And trying to find the one that I... Since Greg Henniger is not here, I'm
Greg Henniger
trying to find the one I read earlier. You guys make sound effects, and I will.
Well, was this question inspired by anything last week?
It was just inspired by us telling stories about bad multiplayer.
Well, because that. I thought it was Dan Amrick, former Games Radar employee.
Oh, it
now
was
one
partially
of
for that, I think.
Yeah, he posted this great. I guess you'd call it an editorial, but he doesn't like he's Activision's community guy. But he did this whole thing about just saying, like, hey, everybody, relax. Because the guy who was the community person for Black Ops 2, when they changed one gun, he got at replies at him and said, like, kill yourself. I'm going to murder your children.
Yeah, he announced,
you should have cancer. Die.
The guy was like, there's a patch that's going to change the balance issues. Somebody responded, what are the changes? He said, we changed the timer on this one gun from 1 second to one, or the reload timer from 1 second to 1.1 second. And then somebody's just like, I hope you fucking die. And it was just, he was just like, yeah, I really don't think changing a timer by 0.1 second is really worth all of this.
Yeah, probably not. It's really sickening to hear that kind of bullshit.
Yeah, that's horrible.
The
this
winner.
Is a thankless job to be the
seriously.
The winner of the question of the week. People say Mario Party destroys friendships, but for me it actually did. I went to my friend's house when I was younger, and along with two other people, we sat down to play Mario Party. Essentially, the game didn't go well for him. My friend got screwed on literally every opportunity. After that, he really never talked to me again.
Oh, wow.
You are the winner, Duffer 00, because I can feel that. I feel for you, and you deserve a game because you lost a friend.
Wow.
Get in touch with Greg H. at GamesRadar.com. And the question of the week this week is actually sponsored by Arnett Sunglasses. But the question itself that you still have to answer in the comments is, what retro game do you wish had DLC that came out at the time that could add to your experience? So answer that in the comments, but also shoehorn in a reference to Arnett Sunglasses. Just anywhere in there, like a weird product placement. And we're going to be picking three winners from the comments, and they will be getting... Arnett Sunglasses.
Really late DLC for... Okay, I got one of those. So there actually was DLC for Super Mario 3 in a way, which was that had the e-card reader. You remember that, guys?
Yeah.
And it when it came out for the GBA, they had e-card readers where you could just drop in new items and stuff in the levels. That was pretty cool. But so I think if they made, like... I'd be up for a real 8-bit or 16-bit 2D Mario coming back and them doing DLC for it. Or for, like, Paper Mario. Just, like, I love Paper Mario, but, like, it doesn't always have to be a 25-hour adventure.
I don't mean DLC as in, like, an eShop game, Hank. I mean DLC
just
as
the
in...
3 hours of extra content.
Yeah, but DLC as in, like, it would release for a previously made game.
Oh, I see. All right, okay.
By the way... Pet peeve. I hate when people say DLC and it's like, oh yeah, Steam.
Like, DLC is added content.
Yes.
Yeah. Not just a downloadable
Hank,
game.
I'm so mad at you right
I'm
now.
I'm sorry. All right. Final Fantasy VI.
All right.
Because there's characters all had a lot of backstory. Not all of it covered. They could totally do it and, like, tell you more about, say, Locke's past or what happened to that dumb art girl before she went somewhere. Rydia. That was her name.
Rydia. I'll go with Lost Odyssey because I love that JRPG, and I think... I want the DLC that specifically just adds more short stories.
That makes you cry?
Yeah. Because that game had so many of those.
I'll say that I wish that GoldenEye back in the day had DLC. Because I would have loved to be able to just get some more maps instead of just waiting for another game to come out.
That's a good one.
Because I can't think of anything else, I'm going to say Ocarina of Time because there's that guy that ran, like the running guy, and... You could race him on your horse to try to get to the forest in, like, under a minute.
Right.
But he always beat you, and you can't beat him. And I want
to
beat him in
some DLC. I thought you
DLC.
Had to beat him for Big Orange Sword.
No, you have to get under a certain time. He always beat you, but you can't beat him.
So you think
he's
there should be some
fast.
Kind of plot where you get, like,
yeah,
super shoes, like, and you can beat him?
Like you get the running shoes from Link to the Past or something, and you just, like, run.
All right, so that's question of the week. What old game or Lost Odyssey... What retro game do you, or what game that didn't get DLC do you wish got DLC at the time, and why? Let us know in the comments section. You might get a prize. Arnett sunglasses on next week's live show of Radio Radar. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes if you didn't already.
We're gonna have to be in good on good behavior for that,
and we're gonna have to wear nice clothes for once.
Yeah.
Nah.
All right, and that's it for episode 49, and we will talk to you next week.